Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Life 21. You know, AI, it's everywhere these days, right? I mean, I feel like everyone's got an opinion on how it's gonna change how we work, you know, like the whole world of work. Well, you've sent in, well, a ton of articles on this very thing, and let me tell you, it's a wild mix. We've got predictions and anxieties, and even, honestly, some kind of mind-blowing possibilities in this stack. We're talking experts like Martin Taylor, in-depth reports like navigating AI, and even, you know, some really big picture stuff from the intelligence age.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting about this deep dive. We're not just looking at one little piece of AI, you know, we're really trying to figure out how it could change, well, everything about how we work.
I like that. We're going deep.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really jumped out of me, honestly, was this idea that AI could be as big as the invention of steel. I mean, honestly, that seems like a pretty bold statement at first, you know? But then when you really think about it, it kind of makes sense.
Right. Think about how steel changed, well, industries. Like how we build skyscrapers to the cars we drive. AI has that same, I don't know, like potential maybe. You want me to shape everything. But this time, it's not about physical stuff. It's about the, I don't know what to call it, like the infrastructure of intelligence.
Okay, now that is a thought-provoking way to put it. But let's be real for a sec. A lot of people, they hear AI and they think, robots are going to take our jobs. And, you know, one article even mentioned, like, possible AI-related layoffs this year. So how do we balance that anxiety, because it's real, with this bigger, I don't know, more positive vision of what AI could be?
You know, it's interesting. When we look back at history, every time there's been a big tech change, like the steam engine or mass production, even the internet, people have been scared of losing their jobs. And yeah, sometimes jobs do go away because of technology, but history also shows us that change usually creates completely new industries and opportunities.
Yeah, like that old saying, don't worry about the horse and buggy, think about building cars.
Exactly. And the data backs that up, I think. Navigating AI talked about a study that said 44% of companies think they might have some AI-related layoffs this year. But get this, 96% think that AI skills are going to be good for job seekers. So it's not like mass unemployment. It's more like a shift in what skills and jobs are in demand.
So it's not about being afraid. It's about being ready, right? But what does that even look like? What are these, like, essential AI skills people keep talking about?
Yeah, that's the big question. One of the articles actually is a really good term for it, I thought. It'd be called IF, AI fluency. And I thought that was really interesting.
AI fluency, okay.
Yeah, it's not just, like, knowing how to code or build an AI, which those are important skills, but it's more about, I don't know how to explain it, like, understanding how AI works and how to use it well. You know what I mean? And how to use it in your own job.
So it's less about becoming an AI expert and more about being good at working with an AI.
Exactly. And that takes, well, it takes technical understanding, of course, but it also takes things that AI can't do, like human skills.
Like what?
Like critical thinking, solving tough problems, creativity, communication. These are the things that are going to be in demand as AI takes over the boring stuff, I think.
Okay, so it's like AI is making us be more human. That's interesting. One article, I think it was The Intelligence Age, painted a really cool picture of how AI could be like your own personal team of experts, like helping you do all kinds of work.
Yeah, imagine having an AI assistant that helps you write that report you've been putting off, or helps you analyze like market trends so you can make better decisions, or even like suggests ideas for a problem you're stuck on. You'll be amazing.
Okay, now that's a future I can get behind. But let's talk about something else for a minute. A lot of these articles talk about AI in different industries. Where are we already seeing AI change how we work?
You know, one thing that came up a lot was customer experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, CX. Think about all the times you talk to a chatbot online or use a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
Those are AI in action. And I know sometimes they're really annoying. But the technology is getting better really fast.
I think we've all had those chatbot experiences where you just want to yell, let me talk to a human being.
Exactly. But imagine if those chatbots were actually good. Like if they really understood what you needed and could actually help you quickly. Navigating AI talked about this study, I think, that found that AI-powered call centers, you know, for customer service, they were 35% better than regular call centers.
35%? That's huge. Does that mean that, like, human customer service agents are going away?
Not really. I don't think so. It's more like AI will do the routine stuff, you know, the simple stuff. And then these human agents are free to deal with more complicated issues, you know, and build relationships with customers and all that.
So it's really about AI and people working together. I like that. But we should talk about the downsides too, right? The articles mentioned some worries about AI.
Oh, yeah, of course. AI is powerful, and we have to be aware of the downsides too.
Yeah.
One thing that came up over and over was the need for transparency, you know? Like, we need to know how AI systems are made and how they're being used.
So, like, making sure AI is used ethically. But that's such a big idea. Can you give me some examples, like, in the workplace?
Sure. One example is bias. Like, if an AI system is trained on data that's already biased,
yeah,
you know, it can make biased decisions.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and that's a problem for hiring people who are giving performance reviews, you know, even promotions.
Yeah, we have to make sure that AI is fair to everyone, but it doesn't discriminate.
Exactly. And it's not just about preventing harm, but also making sure everyone has the same chances, the same opportunities. We have to be careful AI doesn't make inequality worse.
So this is about more than just the technology, isn't it? This is about social responsibility, about ethics, and maybe even new laws and policies to make sure AI is used the right way.
Exactly. And that's why it's important to have these conversations now. We need to think about the consequences, you know, good and bad, and work together to make sure AI benefits everyone.
This feels like a huge responsibility. It's not just on the tech companies, it's on all of us.
It is, but it's also a huge opportunity. Because this time, I really believe this, we can see the problems coming. We can be ready, and we can build a future we want to see.
I like that. So let's say we're looking back at this moment in the future, like 50 or 100 years from now. What do you think the world of work will be like then?
Oh, man. 50 to 100 years from now. You know, there was this one article, The Intelligence Age, and it had this really, I don't know, powerful metaphor, I guess. They wanted us to imagine a lamplighter, you know, from way back in the day, like centuries ago, and they're looking at our world today.
Trying to understand electricity and skyscrapers and the internet. Yeah, talk about mind-blowing.
Exactly. And the article said that in a few hundred years, people might look back at the jobs we have now and be just as baffled.
So all this anxiety about robots taking our jobs maybe is like a lamplighter worrying about electric lamps.
Yeah, maybe. We really can't even imagine the kinds of jobs that AI might create. You know, it's like we're standing on the edge of something huge and totally unknown.
That's exciting and kind of scary all at the same time. But here's the thing. We're not like that lamplighter, right? We actually get to shape this future. We're not just along for the ride.
That's so important. It's not about, like, giving up and letting technology decide everything for us. We have choices. We make decisions. And those decisions are going to shape how this all plays out.
So it's not just how do we prepare for the future of work. It's what kind of future do we want?
Exactly. And that brings us right back to what we've been talking about, you know, education, training so people have the right skills. Thinking hard about ethics and making sure AI is used responsibly.
And remembering that this is bigger than just tech.
Absolutely. This is about society, you know?
Sure.
It's about all of us. We need to be talking about this everywhere, in schools, at work, in government. How do we use this technology for good? How do we avoid the risks?
So AI, it's a technological revolution, but it's also a social and ethical one, too.
Exactly. And we see this before, right? These big changes. It takes working together, new ideas, and being willing to, I don't know, like, adapt.
I think that's a good place to wrap up then. We've done a deep dive here, folks. We've talked about AI and the future of work, and one thing's for sure, the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us.
And that's a big responsibility, but it's also a huge opportunity.
To everyone listening, don't just read the headlines, okay? Get informed, get involved. Be a part of making this future happen. It's going to be extraordinary.
The future belongs to those who imagine it and then, you know, build it.
To our listeners, what do you think the future of work will be like with the advancement of AI? Let us know in the comments. And on that note, that wraps up our deep dive into AI and the future of work. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking the big questions.